It's always been a song that I've loved. I remember the first time I ever heard it, I guess it was the first time I ever met the Kidwells. They were the Grace Trio then. I couldn't remember their names, I just remembered Grace Trio. And then after the service, I remembered their name very well. After I took them all over the countryside, got them lost in my backyard. What a terrible time. I think they saw my desperation and allowed their daughter to marry me. I've never figured it out, you know. They thought, this guy can't even find his way around his own town. We better do something to help him out. And I asked him, I always wanted to do a radio broadcast. And if I ever do one, just a radio broadcast, not for the church, you know, if I were to do one with me, and if I could name it something, it would be the We Would See Jesus broadcast. And I asked him, I said, can I use that song if I ever do it? Never did get to do it, you know. And up there, you could do radio broadcasts as affordable. Down here, you know, you've got to be a millionaire to be able to do a radio broadcast. So we won't look into that right now, but I'm not there yet, you know. I'm working my way. I've got about $999,999 to go. I'll be there. Amen. We would see Jesus. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. There's one verse of Scripture that we're going to look at today as we stand to our feet. We know this verse. We hear this verse. We read this verse. And I want us to look at it today, and may the Lord get a hold of our life with it. The Bible says in verse number 27, Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I want to think about this thought, appointments with God. Appointments with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day that we saw Thee, saw Your love for us, saw Your willingness to forgive our sin, to come into our life and to be our Savior, and to give us new life. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to realize that eternal life only comes through Thee. Be one here today that does not have Thee, I pray that this would be the day where they trust Christ, Him alone as their Savior. Lord, as we look at this verse of Scripture and then look throughout the Scriptures, certain things today, I pray that we would see Thee. Lord, I pray that our minds would be blinded to the world and open to Thee instead of blinded to Thee and open to the world. And I pray for myself, just because I need Thee so very much. I'm so weak and unable to deliver what You've given to me. But I know that You can enable me. So I ask that You would. And I pray that this day would change each of our lives and do something to help us to realize how important each day is. Lord, we'll thank You for what's accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. All throughout life, we have appointments, don't we? Make appointments. And my mom and dad have a calendar at their house, and on that calendar, they have all their doctor's appointments. And the older they get, the more days are filled with doctor's appointments. They talk about them. I'll say, well, when are you going to come back down and see us? Well, we got to find a time when we don't have any doctor's appointments. I said, you're going to have to tell the doctors you're taking 2 weeks off, no doctor's appointments, you know. Our life is filled with appointments. We make doctor's appointments. We make dental appointments. We have dinner appointments. We have supper appointments. We have times just getting together with family appointments. And an appointment, it's an arrangement to meet at a specific time and place. God has appointments for all of us. God has some things for our lives, and He wants us to keep these many of these appointments, but He doesn't make us. And I want us to look at a few appointments that God has for us that He wants us to keep. They're there, but He doesn't make us keep them. We have to make that choice. The first appointment that I want us to look at today is the appointment of salvation. The appointment of salvation. As we look at this, I want you to read what the Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The Lord Jesus is speaking and said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 18, the Bible says of John chapter 3, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Do you understand today that God wants you to be saved? And God has an appointment of salvation because the Bible says that Christ came into the world to give His life a ransom for many. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Who did Jesus die for when He died on the cross? He died for the world. He died for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Jesus died for all. And Jesus wants you to be saved. He has an appointment for you to be saved. He has an appointment for you to give your life to Him and allow Him to be your personal Savior. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us," or listen to this, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Bible says, Timothy was writing in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, when he's talking about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "The Savior who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." It is God's will for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. But God does not make us keep this appointment. But God gives us the choice of whether we want to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. When God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. His Son bled and died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Today, if you've never trusted the Lord, then you have an appointment of salvation that God wants you to keep. We can't coerce you into being saved. We cannot and we will not force you into being saved. It is your choice, your own volition. You choose. Receive Christ, reject Christ. You make that choice. It's up to you. I can tell you this, God wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He desires that all men to be saved, the Bible says. And this appointment is the most important appointment in your life. It's more important than a cancer patient having to keep an appointment with their cancer doctor. It's more important than any kind of a doctor's appointment you'll ever make. A doctor may be used of the Lord to heal you for a little while, but this appointment will heal you for all eternity. You may not get rid of the cancer in this old body, but thank God you're going to get a new body when you keep this appointment. Do you understand? Appointments with God. There's an appointment of salvation that God has for you. You can send it away, you can reject it, you can reject it, and you can reject it, and one day it's going to be too late. One day you're going to cry out, "Lord, give me another chance." But it's going to be too late. That chance will be over. You say, "When will that be?" I don't know. It could be after the church is gone and the rapture has taken place that you begin to cry out and see. It could be that you just push God away and push God away and push God away so many times that He says, I'm not dealing with Him any longer. And by the way, God can do that. He's God. He can do whatever He pleases. But I do know God wants you to be saved. I do know that He wants you to be saved so much that He gave His only begotten Son to pay for your sins. I do know that He made salvation so simple that even a child can understand it and come to the knowledge of truth and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do know that He did everything that needs to be done in order for you to be saved. And He says, here, you have an appointment with salvation. How many of y'all have ever called and canceled your doctor's appointments? Everybody here. I'd cancel every one of them I ever could if I'd get by with it. If it weren't for my wife, I'd never go to the doctor. Amen. My wife, she made me go to the doctor last week. She called and she said, I made you an appointment. I said, why? She said, I'm tired of hearing you complain. She really didn't say that. But I read between the lines. Every day I said, I just can't hear. You know, I could hear when she'd say, come to supper, but I couldn't hear when she said anything else. She'd say, all right, it's time to, let's eat. I was there. It's almost like I anticipated it so much before she said it. I was there. And then she'd say, will somebody take out the trash? I didn't hear that, you know. I asked somebody, I didn't hear it. My ear, you know how it is. Oh, boy. That we call, we'll cancel doctor's appointments. I know of people that have told me time and again, God dealt with me at one time in my life. He was dealing with me so strongly about putting my faith in Him. And I've heard them say something like this. Now I don't sense that He's even there. And I thought, what a scary place to be. What a scary place to be. You understand? What a place to be. You repent with bitter tears, but you feel like you can't speak to God because you pushed Him away and you rejected that appointment. And He may give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but He's only obligated to give you one. One. But His mercy and long-suffering, thank the Lord, gives us many. Salvation. See, salvation is not being a church member. It's not being good. It's trusting Christ. That's what salvation is. You're not going to work your way to heaven, and you're not going to be good to get you into heaven. You're going to, by grace through faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The point of salvation, if we don't move on, we will be here till 1 o'clock. Amen. What about after salvation? There's other appointments God has. After we're saved, God has the second appointment, and that's the appointment of baptism. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Once we've kept that appointment of salvation, God wants us to keep the appointment of being baptized. He doesn't make us get baptized, but He wants us to be baptized because baptism identifies us with when we're in the water, standing in the water, and the water crosses us like this, we're identified that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and He rose again. So when we're baptized, we're identifying with the doctrine of this church that we believe by grace through faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the only means of our salvation. Not baptism, but He wants us to be baptized to identify with Him and to identify with what He did on the cross of Calvary. There's a lot of people that get saved, and by the way, this baptism is after salvation. If you've been saved and you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism since that time, God wants you to keep this appointment. God wants you to follow Him in believer's baptism. God wants you to identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It's an appointment that God has for you. This is something that God has ordered us to do. We have two ordinances that we follow, that we believe the Bible has given to us, and that are the ordinances and order that the Lord has ordered us to do, and that is believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's two ordinances. And we have to understand this. This is important. This is the first step of obedience after salvation, baptism. Then he has an appointment for church attendance. Yes. We have three services a week. Some of you may not know that. But we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you need to be here, if at all possible. If God's given you the health, the ability, you ought to be here and be a part of it. The Bible says, and you know, we use this verse all the time, but it never gets old to me. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has an appointment for us to be in church. The Bible says in the New Testament church, do you realize they met every day? The Bible says, and daily from house to house they cease not to preach and to teach the gospel. The Bible says that God added into the church every day such as should be saved. In the New Testament church, they were meeting somewhere every day. Isn't that amazing? And people showed up. So we have to understand that God doesn't make us be faithful to church, but it is an appointment that God has for us. And I know a lot of people that are calling, canceling those appointments. I'm reminded of a man that one time was faithful to church. Then he began to waver, you know, just kind of started slacking. And he got to the point where he wasn't coming at all. And the pastor went over to the man's house, knocked on the door. The man opened the door. The pastor didn't say a word. He walked in. There was a fire burning in the fireplace, and there was pieces of coal in that fireplace. And those pieces of coal were glowing. And he goes over and he takes some tongs. The pastor goes over and takes some tongs. And he takes a piece of coal out, one piece of coal, and he puts that one piece of coal on the hearth and it's glowing. And then as it sits there, it just begins to die down. And pretty soon it's lost all of its glow. And then the pastor goes over and picks that piece of coal back up, places it back into the fire, and it begins to glow again. And the man looked at him and said, I get the picture. I'll see you Sunday. There's a lot of Christians that used to glow for Christ. But now they've removed themselves and they find every excuse not to be at the house of God. When God has given us the blessed privilege to have a Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service and special meetings. And dear friends, when we come, not only can we gather the fire off somebody else, we can give the fire to others too. The Bible says exhorting one another. That's what happens when you attend church faithfully. It's a blessing to you and you're a blessing to others. And that's an appointment that God wants us to keep. I realize many of us have to work. Many of us have to have physical ability, disabilities that keep us from happening. And many of us, I know people that can't drive at night. I understand that God knows all that, but I'm saying for those of us that are able, these are appointments God wants us to keep. And by the way, we're going to get into why it's so important in just a few moments. Another appointment that God has for us is to read His Word each day. His Word, the Bible. Dusty Bibles are found in Christian homes more and more. And dear friends, we need the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, these apostles, these disciples of the Lord, had been persecuted at Thessalonica because they didn't want to give heed to the word of God. They go to Berea, and I love what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the brethren in Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went in to the synagogue of the Jews. These Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They had an understanding that they couldn't just listen to what Paul and Silas had to say. They needed to search the scriptures and find out what God has to say. There are a lot of churches that are existing on what the preacher has to say. And dear friends, if what I have to say doesn't line up with what God has to say, you don't need me and you don't need to listen to me. But how are you going to know? Why are there people? Why do people follow Jim Jones? Why did they go drink the Kool-Aid? Because they listened to what a man had to say. God would never have told them to do what they did. They didn't look to see what God had to say. Why? Why do Mormons believe what they believe? Why do Jehovah's Witnesses believe what they believe? And I'm sorry, why do some Baptists believe what they believe? Because what a man has to say. Dear friends, God's Word is what we need. And we need to be in it every day of our lives. The Lord Jesus in the New Testament was talking to some people, and these people were trying to give an evidence of eternal life in their life. And the Lord rebuked them and told them they need to search the Scriptures. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But he was talking about these people were thinking, you know, they had eternal life by keeping the law, by being good, by doing good. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He was saying, you think you have eternal life in your works, but I want you to understand eternal life is only in me. Even the Old Testament pointed to Calvary and pointed to Christ and pointed to the need to put their faith in Him. That's all they had. But He said, I want you to look and you're going to find out. You're trying to believe all kinds of things. But the Old Testament tells all about me coming. Go read Isaiah chapter 53. Go read Isaiah chapter 52 where it talks about my visage will be so marred that I won't be recognizable as a human being. Go read chapter 53 as it describes what I'm going to go through and how it's going to please the Lord to bruise me. Go read Psalm 16. Go read Psalm 22 where it's going to give a preview of what I'm going to go through on the cross of Calvary. Go read Isaiah chapter number 9, where it's going to talk about me coming again, and I'm going to be a governor, and I'm going to rule, and I'm going to be wonderful. My name is wonderful. My name is Counselor. My name is Everlasting Father. My name is Mighty God. My name is Prince of Peace. It's who He is. They are they which testify me. You're looking everywhere, but look to the Word, and you're going to find what you need. We need the Word of God in our life. Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm, and it's all about the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse number 11, the Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We see Christians wandering astray, and many times it's because the Word of God is not a part of their life every day. We need to read the Word of God every day of our lives. God has an appointment for us. He wants to meet us, and He speaks to us through His Spirit and through the Scriptures. But if you're not in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God won't speak to you, and the Scriptures can't speak to you. The Word of God is so very important. The Bible says, Psalm 119 and verse 97, listen to this. The psalmist says, Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through Thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. Did you hear that? I have more understanding than all my teachers, because Thy testimony, Your Word, is where I'm getting my understanding. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. How do you know what the false ways are? Because his word teaches you what the true ways are. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget the law? The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. God has an appointment for us to be in the Word of God each day. Each day. That's a simple thing to do, isn't it? Read the Bible. And then God has an appointment for us for prayer. These are appointments that He has for us to keep, but He does not make us keep. What are they? Salvation, baptism, church attendance, Word of God, prayer. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. We ought to always be in the attitude of prayer. We ought to find us a place where we get alone with God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We ought to have a place of prayer in our lives. A place where we go in and it's just us and God. We talk to the Lord. Many times our prayer life consists of before a meal. And our prayer life consists of when we're laying down. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I don't think that as adults that's where we ought to be in our life. Our prayer life, if we've been saved any time at all. I've told you about the little boy and the little girl that was out in the yard playing, and the little boy climbed up in the tree to get the cat out of the tree. The cat was all the way at the end. The little boy got up there and he got all the way out to the end of the limb, and he got the cat out of the tree, but then he realized he was too far out and the limb was about to break. And he looked down at his sister and he said, "Pray, sister, pray." And she began to pray, "God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for this food." And about that time, the branch broke and he splatted on the ground and he looked up and he said, "You prayed the wrong prayer, dummy." And that's a child, you know. We need to learn to pray. We need to enter into our prayer closets and pray. God has an appointment with us. God wants to meet us in prayer each day. These are all appointments that God has for us, but He does not make us keep. But now I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And I want us to look at this. These are appointments that we have that everyone will keep and cannot miss. The Bible says it is appointed unto men wants to die. You have an appointment with death. You have an appointment with death. When's it going to be? When are you going to die? What day? What month? What year? You don't know that. And I don't know that. But just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, you have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die. You're not going to get by with it. You may die of some disease, of some sickness. You may die through some tragedy. You may die what we call a natural death. But if the Lord doesn't return and rapture the church, you're going to die. Death is appointed to all of us. Death is the true enemy for the unbeliever, those that have not kept the appointment of salvation. If you've not received Christ, if you've rejected Christ, death is your enemy. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, verse 21, He said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 24, He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Death is the enemy of the unbeliever. And when you die in your sins, without your sins forgiven, you're going to die. And dear friends, you may not like it, but you're going to go to hell. But that's not what the Lord wants. He's not willing that any should perish. But when you reject Christ, death's your enemy. But if you've received Christ, for the believer, those who have kept that appointment of salvation, death brings victory. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, it's a great passage of Scripture when it speaks of death. We always think of death as being terrible and horrible and the enemy. Of course, this is talking about the Lord Jesus coming, but it helps us understand that death has no hold on the believer. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. And the way it's swallowed up in victory is when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, understand what I'm saying today. Death is not the end, but for the unbeliever, death is defeat. Death is the enemy, but for the believer, death is victory. Because the day we die is the day we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. What a time that's going to be. Oh, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the church at Philippi, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what we have when we have Jesus as our Savior. Death is not our enemy. Death is our victory. Oh, dear friends, it's appointed unto men once to die. And this appointment of death is coming to all. And I ask you, will it be eternal defeat or eternal victory for you? The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Death. We just talked about, Joe Kidwell mentioned it before he sang, talked about it in Sunday school. When Seitler was asked, what will be the greatest day? What's your greatest day? He said, my greatest day is yet to come. Because the greatest day will be the day that I die. For that day, I'll see Jesus. It will be worth it all. Amen? When we see Jesus. What a time. Death. That's an appointment we're all going to keep. And judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. There's two things you will not avoid: death and judgment. Death and judgment. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 14, oh, may we see and understand what the Word of God is teaching us. Verse number 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We need to understand that our Lord is going to judge everyone. Everyone. And the Bible teaches us that there are two judgments. There is the Bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ. It's the judgment for believers. And there's the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. The Bema judgment for believers. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." This is not talking about our sins, but these are talking about the things that have been placed in our care. These are the things that are so very important. See, our sins were judged at the cross of Calvary when we received Christ. When we put Christ in our, when we received Christ into our life, our sins are taken care of because He nailed our sins to the cross. Now that I'm saved, I won't be judged for my sins, but I'm going to be judged for what I've done with Christ. Now, let's go back to those appointments that God wants us to keep, but He doesn't make us keep. Salvation is the beginning, and we're talking about believers, so that's taken care of. We've kept that appointment. But when we start talking about standing before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat, let's think about these very simple things. I'm not talking about the great things. I'm not talking about the sermons I'm preaching. I'm talking about the very simple things. If God can't trust us with the simple things, you know He can't trust us with the big things. If He can't trust us to follow Him in believer's baptism, church attendance, and being in the Word of God each day, and in prayer. See, these are things that's been placed in our care. These are part of the things that we're going to be judged for. What have we done with these things that are simple? How faithful have we been to church? See, we don't think about it now, but we need to take serious the matter of the judgment seat of Christ. Because we will give an account of ourselves, of the things we've done in our bodies, whether they're good or bad. We'll give an account of what we've done with the Lord. So when we make an excuse to not be faithful, we make an excuse not to read the Word of God, we make an excuse not to find a place of prayer, but it's just an excuse for us, is it going to hold up with God? You say, "Boy, you're being tough." Look, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say it. You're going to stand before the Lord. What you do with your life now is so very important, because we'll give an account of ourselves to the Lord. You'll not escape the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. You will not escape it. You will give an account of what you've done with Christ. And by the way, I'm so excited about eternity, but I so dread the judgment seat of Christ. But surely I can do the simple things. I've never had a problem with coming to church since I've been saved. Never had a problem with it. There are times I don't feel like it. There are times I'm tired. There are times it's not convenient. But if God's given me the health and the ability, I do my best to come. There's some times I've missed for frivolous reasons, and I'll answer for that. So will you. You say, "You're just trying to grow the church." No, I'm just trying to help you to understand that you're going to answer to God. You can go on living however you want to live, but don't say you've not been warned. You know, you understand this? God knows people that have to work. God knows people that have certain things they have to do. But God also knows when we make our own excuses. What about reading the Word? How hard is it to open up your Bible and read it every day and ask God to speak to you? How hard is it to pray? How hard is it, you know? Judgment seat. Then beyond that, just the other things that we're going to answer for, the abilities that God's given us, are we using it for Him, you know? May the Lord help us. But then I want to draw your attention to the great white throne judgment. Everybody's going to face judgment. Believers are going to face Christ. And by the way, it's going to be a great time too, because we'll receive rewards for what we have done, but we'll lose rewards for what we've not done. But when we think about it in comparison to the great white throne judgment, this is the judgment for unbelievers. It's a judgment for those that have rejected Christ. When you're saved, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. For all those that reject Christ, your name won't be there. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, John is writing and says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place for them." There was found no place for them. "And I saw the dead," the Bible says in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," not the book of life, but the books that were open, "according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And listen to this. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those that are not saved, those who have not trusted Christ, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And this is a judgment of sin for the sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin has been paid for on the cross of Calvary. But when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to pay for your own sins. The payment's been paid, but when you reject Christ, you're paying for them. How sad to think about it. The payment's been paid, and you reject it. And for all eternity, people that reject Christ are going to be paying for their sins in hell. For all eternity. It's a terrible place. Terrible. God gave the man the ability to choose, and man chose to sin. Then Christ died for our sins. He took our hell and He rose again for our victory. And our Lord's done everything in order for mankind to be able to go to heaven. If you choose Christ, you choose eternal life. If you reject Christ, you choose eternal death. Just as God's going to give us a glorified body so we can enjoy heaven, God's going to give a body to those that reject Christ. And they're going to endure hell for all eternity. No relief. No rest. Punishment forever. Can you imagine dying forever? Have you ever watched somebody die and the struggle they go through? Hell's going to be an eternal dying, but you'll never cease to exist. Hell's real. It's real. So as we come to the end, on the calendar of life, have you kept the appointments that you need to have kept? Have you kept the appointment of salvation? It's the most important. If so, have you kept the appointment of baptism? Are you keeping the appointments of church attendance, of reading your Bible, prayer? Death is coming. Judgment is coming. Those are appointments you're going to keep. You have no choice. But what about these other appointments? Are you ready? Are you ready for eternity? Appointments with God. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We ask you to have your will and way as we respond to thy word. It's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. I know this is a little lengthy, but I believe the Spirit of God.